Well, thank the Lord this morning for His goodness and His faithfulness. We desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The message that the Lord had given me is a continuation of the general overriding theme of cultivating, of taking time to care for, to tend, to assist in the growth of, to develop, to nurture. And this morning, and I know some of our families are gone, but maybe we will post this and maybe some can listen to it that aren't here. And those of you that are finished with your child raising, you pray for those that are still raising their children. But I'd like to share some from the Word of God this morning about cultivating our children. Over in the book of Psalms 127, like to start off there in Psalms 127 in the third verse. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage to the Lord." Children are an heritage to the Lord. And a heritage in that, in this context, it's talking about being a gift. That children are a gift from God. And when God gives you a child, it is something special. It is God is entrusting someone, when He gives someone a child, He is entrusting the care of a life into your hands. And there is no greater charge, really, in life than to have a life, to have a child to care for, to raise, to teach, to instruct, to set an example before. There's a lot of responsibility. And our world is not valuing children like they used to. Our world has done a lot to devalue the family structure. And we have been given a trust this morning. And so the Lord wants us to cultivate our children. That means to develop. There is a mentality in the world today that with children, even young children, is just to let them go and kind of find things on their own and let them go their own ways, form their own opinions, have their own ideas. And there's a great lack of discipline. There's a great lack of instruction. There's a great lack of teaching. Because people are just let them go, let them to discover it. However, that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. And I think it's important for us today with all of the influences that are in the world that we not give in to that mindset. A parent is to be, their job is to cultivate and to teach and to instruct, to lead their children to the right path. Now, it is true that as children grow older and they get to that age where they are making their own decisions and they're out of the home, that they will make sometimes decisions that are contrary to how you have taught them. Now, there are sometimes there that is very far from the parent's fault. If anybody was a perfect parent, it would have been God the Father, yes? And the Lord looked on Israel and He said, "I gave you the best land. I planted the choicest vines. I put a hedge around you." And He said, "Still, wild grapes grew up." And God Himself asked a question as a father. He said, "What more could have I done? What more could have I done?" And so being a parent is a difficult job. And there are not always easy answers. And parents that think they have all the answers for every situation, I dare say they're misled. Because there are places that a parent will get to and find, "I don't know what to do." And I don't know. Every child is different. And what works for one child may not work for another child. And what worked in one family, and it seems like they had it all together, there's a lot of times things going on beneath the surface that you don't see, and it's not as together as what you might think it is. I've discovered that through the years. There are sometimes you think something like, well, this is just a perfect situation almost. Then you find out it wasn't. It's a difficult job being a parent, but God has promised to be with us. As in every area of life, the Lord has promised to be with us as parents. And we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be disheartened. But even parents go through valleys. Parents go through deserts sometimes. And the Lord will walk through you, with you through those desert times as well as a parent. But what the Lord wants us to recognize and to rise to the call of cultivating our children, recognizing it is a gift. So child raising, again, is one of the most important responsibilities of life. Parents are called to correct their children, not to punish them. See, there's a difference. Correction is used for the purpose of instructing and changing bad behavior. Punishment is I'm going to, a lot of times there's more of an issue of I'm going to do something bad to you or harmful to you because I'm not happy. But if we are cultivating our children, yes, is there punishment in the sense that there are things they don't like and hurt? Yes. But it is always should be for the purpose of correcting behaviors that are not good and not advantageous to them. And we're going to deal with some of these things in Ephesians, the 6th chapter in the 4th verse. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I know the word cultivate is not there, but some synonyms are. He said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He didn't say, let your child go and find their own way. He didn't say to expose them to all of the different influences of the world and let them choose the path that they want to take. He said, teach them, admonish them, nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the Lord. And that is should be our goal. Every Christian parent's goal should be, I want to bring my children up in the Lord. I don't want to teach them the ways of the world. They get enough exposure as it is. And some people that leave their children to just go, they are being influenced by someone. And if we are not there to stand as a strong influence of godliness and holiness in their life, our children will succumb to the pressures and influences of the world. So as parents, we want it to be chief that I want to teach my children and raise them in the fear of the Lord. Teach them to have a respect for God in the admonition and nurture. Nurture takes time. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. And it's not always easy. But some of the ways that we nurture our children, and again, this series, it was not the purpose and the burden that I had was not to have Sunday after Sunday of child raising lessons. I don't know that we're going to finish this morning. We'll see how it goes. But the point is, if it can stimulate your hearts and your minds to recognize the trust that I'm here to cultivate my children, it takes time, energy, effort. One of the greatest ways that we can nurture our children and raise them and cultivate good things in their life is to love them. And do you know that love is something that should be expressed and shown every single day? Our children need to hear those words, I love you. They need to hear the words. And I know there are some, I've heard grown-ups say, I never heard my dad tell me he loved me. Or I never heard my parents tell me that they were proud of me. One of the ways that we can nurture our children and cultivate a place of security in their life is to let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are loved, and that love is unconditional. It's not conditioned about our children always doing the right thing. Our love is not conditioned upon them always being perfect, because we all know our children aren't always perfect, but neither are we as parents. Love is something that you have my heart. I am here for you. And there are areas and times, again, that when children get out on their own, there are decisions they can make that they know, this isn't the way I was taught. My children don't have to ask what Dad thinks, not because I told them after they left the home, but because of what I told them when they were in the home. They don't have to ask me, Dad, what do you think about such and such? They know because I taught them when they were down here. And so our children need to be raised, though, on a daily basis, knowing that we love them, we care about them. And when our children do misbehave, when they're in the home and they're young and they misbehave, we need to give them assurance that I still love you. I love you. And our children need to have that positive support, verbally and otherwise, that you are accepted. Do you know one of the reasons, and it's not always, again, older children can make some really bad decisions, and I know parents feel like it's a reflection on them, but that is not always the case. Because if the children of Israel were a reflection on God the Father, it would be a sorry state of affairs. But God did His part, and He created everyone with the power of choice and decision. But one of the things that causes a lot of deviant behavior in our society is a lack of acceptance in the home. If my mom or dad don't accept me and make me feel secure, a girl is much more prone to go out and get involved with a young man or an old man and get involved to find someone that I'm accepted and I'm loved, and causes a lot of grief and a lot of heartache in life. But if you study a lot of the teen pregnancies and things that happen, many times it stems from a seeking to be accepted. I'm seeking to find some fulfillment because I don't have acceptance at home. So it's so important for parents to recognize the value of expressing love, expressing acceptance, not measuring or comparing one child with another child. Well, if you would just be like your brother or like your sister. Do you know that none of us like people comparing us to someone else? Is anybody here really like that? Well, if you could really, Brother Michael, if you could just preach a little more like, well, I'm sorry. I can't preach like they can. That's not who I am or my call. It's the same way with our children. They are so different. They have different personalities. They have different strengths. And they have different weaknesses. And they need to be assured and to know that we value them for who they are. We value them for their uniqueness, because they are all special to God and they are special to us as parents, and we need to reinforce that to them, starting at a very, very young age. Physically expressing love is also very important. Our children need the hug around the neck. They need the arm around the shoulder. They need physical contact in appropriate ways to know that I love you. So as you say the words, put your arms around them and let them know you love them. Our children should grow up on a diet of love. Not an absence of it, not that kind of diet. But they should grow up on a recipe, being fulfilled, knowing that they're loved, accepted verbally by the way they are treated, and with that show of physical affection, even if they act like they don't like it. You just go on and still put your arm around them and let them know. You've heard the little story about the boy that went and wouldn't give his mother a hug, and finally dad there says, boy, son, give your mother a hug. It's important. It's important for that physical affection to be there in the home. I've seen parents boast about their children, and that's not wise. That's nourishing and fostering pride. But that is very different than being proud in a good way. I'm proud of you. What that's meaning, it's not talking about in a carnal way or a way that's ungodly, but it's an expression of, I'm pleased with what you've accomplished. Job well done. That makes me happy. I'm in our word that we use is, I'm proud of you. Because you stepped up to the plate, you accomplished a job, you did something. For a child, for a very young child, it may be as simple as picking up their dirty clothes and putting them up. I'm proud of you for cleaning their room. I'm proud of you. It may be for a teenager when you see them go speak to someone that's kind of by themselves and is looking a little uncomfortable, and you see them go and be a friend to them. I'm proud of you. Thank you for being a friend to the friendless. Thank you for making them feel comfortable when they were uncomfortable. But there are places that, especially with young children and young, I'll just say that 8 to 10, 9, 10, 11, 8 years old can be a very difficult time for parents and children. Because it's like they're not little anymore, but they haven't matured yet. And I remember sitting across from a parent at an all-day meeting. My wife is remembering. I remember we were in another congregation there and ministering, and we were sitting across from someone at the table. And all through dinner, the dad was getting on to his, it was probably 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. Well, I understand why. But it was one of those, it was at that awkward age where it almost seemed, it feels like as a parent that everything they do isn't what they're supposed to be doing. You know, wipe your mouth with a napkin. Don't chew with your mouth open. You know, you need to be quiet. Adults are talking. You need to, and it almost just felt like every little thing. When it starts feeling like that, it's a good time for a parent to just take a step back for a moment. Don't stop teaching, but take a step. And as much as you are trying to correct a negative behavior, find places that you can give positive reinforcement to those things that are good, so the child doesn't feel like, I can't do anything right. Because children can start feeling that way. And a parent, good parents can sometimes make your children feel that way, and they don't mean it that way. And so I think as parents, we have to stop sometimes and think, you know what? We kind of had to deal with some negative things. We need to make a special effort to put some positive reinforcement and let them know those positive things in life. We're talking about cultivating our children. Giving them praise goes right along with it. Giving them praise for the good things that they do, looking for that without comparison. And in cultivating positive things in their life, all of our children are different. We were talking in Sunday school this morning just a tad bit, but if someone gets a B, I want to know the reason why. I want to know why, if they were capable of getting an A, okay? If they were capable of getting an A. I want to be sure that it's not the letter grade that matters to me. What matters is, were they working hard? Were they doing everything they could? And they say, yeah, I got a B on this, or maybe worse. Maybe a little lower than that. But what's important is that we encourage our challenge to do the best that they can. If they're being lazy, I'm going to correct my children. I don't want my children on their tests and on their schoolwork just to get by with the minimum. That's not acceptable. Because what we're doing when we allow our children to do that, we are encouraging what we were talking about, Brother Max, before service. We're encouraging people in our society are getting by with the minimum on the workforce. Where did that start? It started at home. When they were told to clean their room and they picked up one thing and they still had a pile of dirty clothes. That was enforced by their parents when they let it stay that way. That was enforced. It's okay, I told you to clean your room, you picked up half of it. What about the other half? So we want to encourage and challenge our children to be the best that they can be. And if the best is a C, I'm proud of you. If the best is a C and you've worked hard and you've studied and you've applied yourself, then I want to know if there's something we can assist in But I don't want them to feel bad because they didn't get an A. But if they were slothful, we've got something to discuss. Because, so what are we nourishing, even in school? And I know a lot of the saints, not all of them, but I know that many in the church homeschool. Do you realize that we are to cultivate good character in the way that we handle our children's schoolwork? Are we teaching them to be slothful? Are we teaching them that time doesn't matter, just whenever you get to it? Or does time matter? Is a schedule important? Are we teaching them that there are deadlines that need to be followed? So what characteristics are we instilling in our children by the way that we are setting up and working with our children in the home on a daily basis? It is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to our children in cultivating them is the gift of time. I know sometimes, especially fathers and even mothers can be guilty of that. I guess as parents, we all can be. We get so busy. We get so busy. And I've heard people make the comment, well, I'm putting food on the table. It's good to put food on the table, but do you know what is more important to your child than living in a nicer home or a nicer car is you giving them some time? Taking time, go on a hike. For one child, it may be going on a hike. For one of my children, I've been playing a game with them, you know, pulling out a board game. For another one of my children, it was going and lifting weights with them. For another child, it was, you know, it can vary from child to child, but finding things to do that they're interested in. It might be for a mother cooking something that one of your child wants to cook. Spending time with them, doing something they enjoy doing. But time is valuable. And that's one of the greatest gifts we can give to our children. And when we get so busy, sometimes we just need to stop and make time. Make time. Give the gift of time. Well, one of the things about our children is my sons and daughters are not princes and princesses. I love them dearly. But, you know, some parents treat their children as they're, you know, you hear that term, the world has coined it. Oh, she's just a little princess. She can't do anything wrong. She just kind of let her go. Do you know that while they're not princes and princesses, they're valuable. They're valuable. They're important. And we need to look for places to make connections with our children. Look for a place. I know some daughters or some mothers have felt like, my daughter and I, we have nothing in common. It seems like we're just so different, fathers and their boys. And like, we're just so different in perspective. He's like his mother, and the wife is like, man, my daughter's just like her dad. And it just seems like there's this, you know, finding these places. Where do we connect? It's really important to find places to connect. Find a common interest. You can find them. Find something that you can enjoy doing and give that gift of love and acceptance, giving the gift. Now, the scripture said to raise them, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To admonish really means to instruct. To instruct in spiritual things. One of the greatest things, again, that we can do in cultivating our children is to teach them the way of the Lord. Because the way of the world is so prevalent. We have in our world today the media from what's on the internet, from the radio, to what people are listening to and seeing, from the school system, to our government, to family members, people that are right in your families that you love dearly, are influencing our children in the ways of the world. And it is so important that as parents, we instruct them in the way of the Lord. This is the way of the world, and if that means that that's the way of my brother or sister or grandma or grandpa, I'm sorry and I'm not trying to tear them down, but honey, this is what the Bible says, and this is the way of the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know that we all have family members that are not living like they ought to, and we don't want to tear them down, but I don't want to trade in my children's lives, my young, impressionable children. I don't want to trade them into the world to maintain an influence in my life that's going to lead my children astray. Well, so it's important for us to instruct in spiritual things. So how do we do that? The greatest way we can teach our children about God is by example. Because we can say things with our mouth, and we'll address that, but the greatest way we can instruct our children is for them to observe how we live. What's important to us? Our children will know real fast if we put God first in our life, won't they? And they're going to learn by that. They're going to learn that, well, we say that we put God first, but we really know we do otherwise. Or are we teaching our children by example that we put God first? We put God first with our time. We put God first with our money. We put God first in our affections. We put God first in what excites us and lights our fire. It's the things of God. Do you know our children are going to pick up on that? So are we going to instill in our children a love of the things of the world? Are we going to instill in our children a love for earthly possessions? Or will we instill in our children by our example and by our conduct fervency for the things of God, putting God first in how we live our life, in the decisions that we make as parents? Well, what does our life revolve around? You know, there are some families and some homes, their life revolves around work. Some revolves around pleasure. And those, both of those things in their proper place are okay. Are okay. We need work. We need school. We need to have, you know, off time. Those things are all okay. But what we want our homes, by the help of God, to revolve around, that our children can know, our home revolves around the things of God. Serving God, worshiping God, loving God, doing things for the Lord, finding fulfillment in good, positive, wholesome things that can be a blessing to other people. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them," talk about the ways of God, "shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and then when they rise up. Thou shalt teach them diligently." So one of the blessings of a Christian home, in a way of cultivating our children, I grew up with it, and by the help of God, we have done that in our home as well. But we grew up what used to be termed a family altar. I know that's kind of an antiquated term now. You don't hear that as much, but that's what it is. And what that means is that we take time together to have worship as a family. So in the morning, we found, especially, now this is with young children, as they get older, they can learn to teach them to have worship and devotions on their own, but that's not a substitute for coming together as a family. So when we were going to school, when we were young, before we would head out to school, we would have a short time, we'd read a scripture, a couple comments, and have prayer together to start the day. And then the evening was our time, after dinner and before time to go to bed, to come together and have family worship together. Read Bible stories, read some good Christian, wholesome books of instruction, read the Bible. And it wasn't a time that we preached at our children, or that as a child, when my mom and dad, they didn't preach at us, but we talked about life. You all might be amazed at some of the things in our home that we've talked about during family worship. But I'll tell you, we've covered about almost most subjects that you can think about. Where did we talk about it? Family worship. You think, is that spiritual? Yes, because it affected their life. And that's when you talk about challenges you face. Talk about the influences of the world. Talk about the real temptations that we have. Talk about relationships. Talk about marriage. When do you talk about marriage? When they're engaged? It's too late. Talk about it when they're here. You talk about it when they're here. You talk about what it means to be a good husband and a good wife. You talk about how to prepare yourself as a young man or as a young woman, how to prepare yourself and cultivate those virtues in you that you could be a good husband or wife if you are down the road. You talk about acceptance. You talk about how to feel secure. You talk about those things that might make your children feel insecure. Talk about those. Talk about the things that trouble them through the day. Talk about their challenges. Family worship is a wonderful time to do that. The Proverbs are a wonderful place to go to. Just every day-to-day living. How to live life. Responsibility, good character, honesty, integrity. Where do you find it? Proverbs. How to keep yourself pure from the defilement of the world. Those things should be taught in family worship. Valuing purity. Where do you go? Go to the book of Proverbs. So if you don't know where to go, just go and say, well, it's time for worship. And you open up, just turn to Proverbs. And I'll tell you, you don't have to read far before you'll find a verse that you can kind of hang your hat on. Say, let's talk about this. It's a time not just for the parents to talk, time to have the children talk. You know, have them share. Those are valuable, valuable times. And it takes effort to make time every evening for family worship. It takes effort because you have to lay down your other work. You have to lay down your other responsibilities. You have to lay down what you are just wanting to have some quiet time. And you have to say, you know what? I'm cultivating our children. Our children don't stay young very long. They grow up so fast. And I know for young parents, for parents that have young children, it feels like they'll never grow up. I'm so tired of changing diapers, and I'm so tired of feeding them, and I'm so tired of waking up. I can about guarantee you there will come a day where you will wish you could change another their diaper one more time. I wish they were back there. I wish I could have that. Not, you understand what I'm saying. I had difficulties with that. But anyway, I think you know what I mean. I wish they could be young again. Because it didn't last long. I wish I could have them down here again, that I could spend a little bit more time in things when they got into adulthood and I kind of saw some things they were struggling with. I wish I had them down here again, that I could kind of have that opportunity to talk and get away with it. That you don't have that opportunity when they get older. And that's just, I think, probably the way for every parent. I imagine every parent wishes that there were areas that they could have made some adjustments. We're not perfect parents. None of us are. We make mistakes. But my prayer has been when I was a young parent, and it still is today, but Lord, we do the best we can, so fill in the gaps for us, Lord. And we're going to make mistakes too, but there are things that we can do. So I want to encourage those with young children. We're about almost out of those years. But if there are areas that when you have your children, value it, value the time, and realize the time that you spend with them cultivating those things in their life, there's no price you can put on that. You can work later. You can have your quiet time later. But now is the time. You've got a few short years to cultivate those things in their life. So it looks like there is going to be a part two. We'll conclude there this morning. And like I said, if you are out of the child-raising times, you pray for those that still have children, especially those that have young children, because teaching them at a young age can save a lot of grief when they get older. So when they're really little, and we'll conclude with this thought, it's too late if you say, well, I'll wait till they can really understand it all, 15, 16, 17 years old. The time to start is before they're even 1 year old. It is those formative years of, you know, 6 months, 9 months to 3 to 5 years old, that is when, believe it or not, that the greatest impact is made on children. People say, well, I like to wait till they get older, then we can. The formative years are those first few years of life. Let's not neglect it, but let's nourish, let's raise them and nourish them in the admonition of the Lord, that we can cultivate in our children the good things of the Lord. And when you get to that place, it's like, I don't know what to do. The Lord will walk with you through it, and He can equip you and help you to be the best parent that you can be. You're not created to be a parent like I am, or me like you, but the Lord can give us what we need to see us through those times, and it helps to get advice and counsel and hear what's worked for different people. And you might try and say, it didn't work for me, it might have worked for you, but then maybe you talk to someone else and, I can try that too, and you'll find it works. So it helps to share and to be observant of how others are parenting and what works and doesn't work. Lord bless those that still have parents, those that are expecting children, or those that they still have children, and those that are looking for children. God bless you. He will be with you. He will help you. You don't have to be afraid of it, but it's a responsibility that we want to nourish them. Amen.